What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Faith Adventure has been awesome. Come on, Faith Adventure has been awesome. You have been changed. You have been lifted. You have been changed. You have been lifted. Those words that have come to you, they have metamorphosed you. You are not the same person. As I'm talking, I'm feeling God's power right now. You are not the same person that came here starting Faith Adventure. As you are living, things have changed. As you are going back, your businesses have opened up. As you are going back, your mindset has changed. Your mindset has shifted. The city is yours. The city is yours. You are going with your eyes red. You are going with your eyes red. You are going with your eyes red. Taking over the industries, taking over sectors in the name of Jesus. God is enlarging your heart. He's giving you the boldness to take those cities, sir. He's enlarging your heart and giving you the boldness to take those cities. You are taking Kaduna, sir. You are taking Kaduna, Pastor Kolawole. You are taking Kaduna. Kai, I feel God's power. I want to just hold back, but this let me just flow, okay? Is that all right? I will still flow whether you like it or not. You are taking Kaduna, sir. In the name of Jesus. And all the things that God has told you, stretch into them. For the boldness has come. And there is a capping. There's a capping. All the resources have come together now. And this is the time. The light has broken out. The light has broken out upon you. The light has broken out upon you. And you have entered that season of ease. That season of ease. The season of ease has come. Sabro kotesh chalaba hidos tayalaba. you, Lord, for your hand of love upon us. We run into your hands. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to your embrace. Nothing compares to your embrace. Thank you, Lord. Oh, nothing compares to your embrace. Nothing compares to your embrace, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing compares to his embrace. Hallelujah. He loves me. Say it, he loves me. He cares about me. Nothing compares to his embrace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He loves me. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. His love for you is passionate. His love is after you. Doesn't matter what is going on around you. What is matter what is going on about you. He cares about you. The very hairs on your head, they are numbered, not counted, numbered. 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 That means as you're combing your hair probably this morning, when one strand fell down, the angel said, hair number 1, 2, 4, 5, 6 has fallen down. He knows the details of your life. He cares more than you think. He has the details of your life. He has got it worked out. He knows your address. He has got you worked out. He has got your back, sir. He has got your back. He has got your back. Refuse the lie of the devil. He has got your back. He has got you covered. And he's working things out for you. He's taking you to a glorious destiny. He's leading you. He's counseling you. He's putting the city in your hand. He's arranging things for you. He's orchestrating events in your favor. He's arranging you. All things are working together for your good. He's orchestrating you. Even those things that do not seemingly look right, he's orchestrating them for you. Events are orchestrated for you. You are actually the center of the universe. You are the center of the universe. He loves you that much. He loves you that much, and he gave his son to prove it. He loves you that much. He gave himself to prove it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm going to teach you on dominion systems. I trust God that within this short period, inject some of these thoughts that we actually, so much has been said through Faith Adventure, and it's all part of what God is putting, installing like a software inside of you to get you set for where he's positioning you for. Amen. Yeah, so God is installing softwares. Every of those messages, every of those impartation sessions are softwares that God is installing to get you set for that takeover that you need. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're all set. Amen. Say, I'm all set. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Hey, I'm ready to take the city. I'm ready to take Kaduna. I'm ready to take Makurdi. I'm ready to take Abuja. I'm ready. I'm ready. Say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. If they ask you, are you ready? Say, I was born ready, brother. I was born ready. I was born ready. Because many times, you see, people are always trying to get ready. You ask, so why have you not started that business? I'm trying to get ready. Guess what? You were born ready. He said you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. You are what? You are complete in him. You are complete in him. You are complete. You are ready. Say, I'm ready. Say it again. Say, I'm ready. There's something inside of me this morning. I said, see, I'm ready. I'm ready to start that business. I'm ready to push out in that industry. I'm ready. I'm ready. I was born ready. You were configured for it. Because many times, you see, if the devil can convince you that you are not ready, the resources and everything around you might be available. But because you are convinced that you are not ready, you'll not be able to tap into it. And many times, the people that are doing great things are even less readier than you. Believe me. They don't have it that together. Say amen. Yeah. You are more ready. You are ready, sir. Hallelujah. So I'm going to talk about dominion systems, amen, as by taking the cities. Amen. Say me, the city is mine. The city is mine, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So this the topic on dominion system rests on the requirement that your operating system is a different operating system. Amen. You know, I'm a computer person, so sometimes that's how it works. Amen. Your operating system has to be a little bit. So we have to thank God for Faith Adventure. Operating system partly, mostly has been reconfigured throughout Faith Adventure. Amen. Because this teaching of dominion system rests on the operating system of ownership. It rests on the operating system of sonship. It rests on the operating system of being a co-laborer with God. Because there are some Christians that they have, their operating system is that God is out there, he has to do something new in my life. God is out there. But in this new dispensation, you are the owner. God is, you are a co-laborer. You are as much a part of what God is doing, that as much as a part of what God is doing, you are part of it. Two of you, you and God, are working together. So this dominion system is resting on that understanding. So you are not out there saying, because there's a kind of Christianity that a person is out there waiting for God to do something. That's fine at some level. But if you are growing into sonship, you have to come to the place where you are a partaker. You know exactly what God is doing. God is showing you the ways. You are seeing the background. You know exactly what is going on. You are not just seeing the act, but you are seeing the ways. You know exactly how things will turn out. It's not guesswork now. You are not hoping. You are not trying. You know you are an owner of what is going on. That's dominion system. You know, Reverend Tokula was saying yesterday about Kenneth Copeland. When he looked and said, God asked him that if I give you the world to run in a day, that's ownership thinking. It takes somebody that understands ownership to think like that. Revelations 11. Let's start from somewhere. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, this will bless you. This message today will bless you. Oh, it will bless you. It will change things in your life. It will reconfigure things in your life. I said 11:15. Amen. It says, and the seventh angel sounded. KJV. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And you have put on Christ. Amen. You have put on Christ. Amen. Save me, I have put on Christ. So the kingdoms of this world have become what? Your kingdom. Are we together? Now, quickly, I want to run through a few things. Now, you know, you notice he said that the seventh angel is not really, because Revelation, the book of Revelation, talks in terms of, is symbolic. So that seventh angel is symbolic. He's talking about, that those kingdoms are also the seven kingdoms. There are also seven kingdoms that needs to be taken over. Kenneth Copeland, getting his partnership letter one time, we partner with him. He gave a particular prayer about the seven mountains. Those seven mountains are the centers of influence that you will find in this world. Those seven mountains are the influence, the center where things are controlled. You know, yesterday we were talking about the gatekeepers, right? Where decisions are made. So those that's seven that he's talking about. He's talking about the seven mountains. And Kenneth Copeland, people have talked about it. Some extreme doctrines came out of it. But we stay with one that we stay with. Amen. So those seven mountains, Kenneth Copeland named those seven mountains, talking about government, media, art, entertainment, business, education, religion, and family. Are we together? And so he was saying that a person that takes a hold of this, that can control these seven mountains, right, controls, influence, and what is going on around. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So now this seventh angel is talking about those the seven mountains. Hallelujah. All right. So Deuteronomy 7, verse 1, you will see these seven mountains. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so he said, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, amen. He said, now notice, when the Lord God brings you to the land whither thou goest to possess it, the essence, you know, a lot of times you need to understand the essence of this possession. The essence of this possession, on Sunday, last week Sunday, Reverend Tokula was talking about the man that finds a field, right? And goes, he finds a treasure in the field and goes and sells all and comes to buy what? The field. He doesn't buy the treasure. He buys what? The field. Why? Because the field gives him access to the treasure. Are we together? Because many times, you see, why a lot of Christians, we need to understand this concept that power is more important than money. Power is more important than money. Poor people think in terms of money. The real people think in terms of power or office. Because when you get the office, there are paraphernalia attached to it. You can be crying for house rent. If they make you special advisor, you know it comes with house, a car, right? So this possession, there's a sense when he says, and you, as you are going, you are going to possess it. There's a sense of possessing the city itself. That sense of possessing the city is that there are things that come when you possess the city itself. So you are thinking in terms of possessing cities because there are things attached to that city. The things attached to that city, that's even to a large extent, you have to have a strategic view of things. Amen. Hallelujah. As a believer, you have to have a strategic view of things. Because many times I'm preaching like this, somebody, what you are bothered about is maybe I need to just pay house rent. There's nothing wrong with starting at that. But if you understand what you are saying, you can upgrade or upscale your prayer so that the lesser is included in the greater. You can upscale it. You can upscale it. You can upscale your prayer. The lesser is included in the greater. In fact, life moves in offices. Life, it moves in offices. When your spiritual office is upgraded, there are certain things that are attached to that spiritual office. So it's not like you're even looking for things. You are looking for an upgrading of the office. What happened to Jesus after 30 years was that God showed up and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." Office. Things got attached to that office. The devil too got attached and got interested. It was an office that he stepped into. Amen. A lot of times in prayer, you know, in the military, in aviation particularly, for you to get to certain levels, maybe from a private pilot to a commercial pilot or to an instructor pilot, there are certain numbers of hours that you have to do in flying an aircraft. Maybe if you do like 10,000, if you do like 5,000 hours to become a private pilot, you do 10,000 hours. So now, and it is the number of hours that you have done that determines your office. Are we together? Yeah. So in Christianity too, there is a dosage of spiritual structure or power that can be deposited in you that increases the office. We call it the anointing. It increases it. And that office has with it attached things that are naturally attached to it. And that is why that is the sense of possession here. That when you possess the land, the things in the land belong to you. Are you seeing it? Yeah, the things in the land belong to you. It belongs to you. That is why you are taking the city. And you see, in taking the city, the mindset that God has As far as God is concerned, God is more concerned about souls, amen, than the things that, as you say, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That means that the soul of a man is worth more than the whole world. Do the maths. Yeah, what shall it profit a man, one man, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The things, the properties, cars, houses, they are not really that important. The devil looked at Jesus and said, "Bow, see all this, the glory of this world? Just give me your heart. They are yours. The heart is more important. The soul is more important." Those things are not the things that bother the devil. It's the heart. But you see, it's like that field that we're talking about, that the man goes to. The heart of the man is the treasure. But you need to be the owner of the field to be able to access the treasure. You need to be the owner of the field. And so now, so what I'm teaching now is strategic. So you need to, your mind, you need to just follow, because sometimes when we talk like this, right? You need to catch the picture. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You need to catch the picture. So I'm catching the picture. Yeah. For instance, if you look at Joseph. Joseph interpreted dream for Buckler Baker. Right? No much change. But the same thing he did, what he did was to just interpret dream. His life changed. It means that you can be doing the same thing, but when you scale it up, that same thing will give you a different product. That is how God thinks. God thinks strategically. Why? Because Pharaoh, that he interpreted dream for, had more influence. God thinks in terms of influence. When you see the book of Acts, God calculates influence. God, you know, sometimes believers don't know, we do one small church, no problem. We don't want too many big men in our church. No, we want big men in the church. We will raise big men, we will bring big men. Big men are coming to meet big men in the church. Amen. That your business that you are doing, that fashion that you are doing, the scale of wealth that can come to you is the scale of your customers. You are getting it. You are getting it. Because if you are barbing hair for them guys, area boys, it's area boys salary that they will give you. If you can scale it up and do the same thing on a different scale, that's influence. God calculates influence. God is calculative in influence. Read the book of Acts. 3,000 people get born again. I just say 3,000 people get born again. Another 2,000, I just join all of them up. Then those people that have influence, they will select their stories and tell their stories. Cornelius, the Ethiopian eunuch, Paul, all of them had mighty influence. The Ethiopian eunuch was a finance minister. Heavy money. You know what finance minister is? God took time to explain their salvation. Because if God saves them, God has saved a nation. If God saves an area boy, it's only the area boy that will get saved. In fact, his father will be persecuting him. But if God saves the general that rules the father will say, yes, you change to religion. Okay, we too, we are changing. Influence. Influence. God thinks strategic. Jesus thinks strategic. The houses of people that Jesus went to were houses of big guys. Check Zechariah. It's not everybody's house that he went to. The centurion. He said, I'm coming to your house. It's not everybody's house that Jesus went to. Jesus was calculative. Not manipulative. You have to respect influence. There are certain people that have earned the right to be respected. That's what Reverend Tokola was telling you. That these people that he brought out, you have to respect them. They've earned the right to be respected. You cannot just treat you anyhow and everybody's the same. No, everybody's not the same. There are certain people that one move of their pen or one phone call can change things. Those kind of people have earned the right for you to go to their house. It's not all your customers that you treat the same now. No, there are certain customers. It's called VIP treatment. Because if you don't treat them, they'll not show up again. They've earned the right to be angry. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It's influence. It's influence. What will it be if you have a church and you have 10 senators seated listening to you? Sir, evangelism will become easy. Now, the thing is that I know sometimes I say, no, what we need is the miraculous for the evangelism. I agree. We're not removing the miraculous. But guess what? It can be amplified. It's influence that amplifies it. It's the amplification I'm talking about. It becomes easier. See the sense. Eyes open. My eyes are open. I'm seeing the sense. It is not that we're removing the miraculous. It is that if we can have that sufficient money, we can fly in people for meetings. Sir, the reason why some people are not born again is economical. Because they've calculated, if I leave this other religion and I join you guys, my support system will be disorganized. But if you can provide the support system for you, they'll join you, sir. They've already believed in their heart. Influence. Say with me, influence. Say it again. Say influence. You can amplify your voice. The wisdom of the poor man is not heard, sir. You can amplify your voice. You can amplify your music. There are some songs that the song no cuckoo, you know, the song no day. But if I had money, we'll go to South Africa, do one correct video like this. Everybody will be watching it. Trick the voice. In these days, there's technology. They don't even need to know how to sing. With money, the person's voice is everywhere. Oh, you don't know? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Say me, influence. Say it again, say influence. So you see, in Deuteronomy, right? In Deuteronomy 7:1, every of those people, I will not enter into it. Every of those people you see, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, all of them are representatives. The major things they do, like the Amorites, the major thing they do is in terms of education. Right? You see that every one of them, there are some things that they were known for. Now, God said that these people, they are going to take over from them. Amen. I know there's a mindset that you need to understand that it's a takeover. It means that where you are going, there are people already. The city that you are, the biggest church is already there. It's not competition. No, it's not kind of competition. Just to let you know that the things that you are doing, somebody is already doing it. So it's not an excuse to say, no, but everybody is doing it. No. You are different. In fact, there'll be people there already. The transport business that you want to be a mogul in, there is somebody that is already a mogul there. So it's a replacement. It's not that the place is vacant now. You're not saying, oh, the place is vacant. No. There is somebody already there. You are displacing. You are displacing. So you are contending. You are contending. So it's not God remove. And you see this replacement mentality. If you are not covenant minded, you will think that it is not fair. Hey, because in your mind you are thinking fairness. No, God, they are already there. They worked hard for it. No, you need to be covenant minded. The way God thinks, if you read this whole chapter, the way God thinks, say, because I've loved you and because my covenant is with you, there is the way God thinks about covenant. And when Abraham is with another king, and the king does all that, gives him all everything that needs to do. Even if it's Abraham that lied, God will not come and start blaming Abraham. God is covenant-minded. The city is yours because Jesus paid for it. You need to think covenant. So they are not the owner. You are the owner of the biggest schools in Nigeria. You are the owner of the biggest transport industry in Nigeria. You are the owner. You are the owner. When the children of Israel walked out of Egypt, one young guy that doesn't understand covenant will tell his dad, but dad, we borrowed gold. Are we not supposed to return it? No, sir. Every of those gold was a product of Joseph's hard work. It belonged to them. You need to know that. All things are yours. It is mine. Because the moment your mind, somehow back of your mind, you are thinking, well, I don't think this is fair, oh. No. You are a covenant person. God has delivered them to your hands. The city is yours. It's yours. I know the first thing that the devil attacks many times is identity. It's identity, that ownership mindset, the sonship mindset. It's what, because it is the sonship that gives you the right righteousness to think that it is yours. Are you together? Are we together? Is that sonship mindset? When Jesus, the first thing, when Jesus came out of that water, John's baptism, God told him, You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. If you do Bible forensic, that was what the devil was attacking in the desert. You know forensic? You've watched FBI, all those kind of movies. If they commit murder, to find the murderer, you do forensic, you see fingerprint, all those things. You now trace back to when everything, you can now construct the story. So if you do Bible forensic, you realize that that was what the devil was attacking. He said, if you are the son of God, command these stones to be changed to bread. What he was attacking was identity. Amen. Jesus was tempted in all points as you were, yet without sin. Should I tell you something that will not sound like heresy? Should I tell you something? Jesus was struggling about sonship at the beginning. He wasn't sure he was his son. That's why it's called a temptation. So you being unsure doesn't mean that you're not going to get there, sir. You can start being unsure. You can start at being unsure, but stay with the word, sir. Stay with the word. Stay, sir. Stay. It doesn't disqualify you. It doesn't disqualify you. I'm telling you the truth. Jesus was unsure. At the start, he was unsure. That's why it was called a temptation. I know in Sunday school, they've carved your brain to think that it came out okay. But he was unsure. That's why it was called a temptation. It was a valid temptation because he was unsure. It's okay to be unsure at the start. Oh, but thank God he came to the place where he knew that he was a son. It's about sonship. Because you need to have your identity. Because he said, this is my beloved son. Because sonship is ownership. Yeah. Because it is through sonship that the devil say, this world, I can give it to you. In his mind, he say, if I'm the son, I'm the owner. You understand? I'm the heir now. So if you come and offer me the world, sonship means heir. You cannot tempt me. The core thing was identity. In the Garden of Eden, the core thing was identity. If you eat of it, you shall be like God. It was identity crisis. The identity crisis. You shall be like God. They were not. They didn't know they were already like God. Made in his exact image, sir. Made in his exact image. The devil attacked the identity. And many times, that thing about dominion is that you have to know your identity. You have to know your identity. I know the world, unfortunately, the world has carved us out in a way. I'm going to tell you now, you need to change it. Kenneth Copeland said that the first thing that God had to do was to change him from thinking that I am a pilot that preaches once in a while. He had to come to the place where he's not a pilot that preaches once in a while. He's a preacher and a prophet that flies the aircraft once in a while. It's a big change. They say, who are you? He said, I'm a student in BSU. No, sir, you're not a student in BSU. No, you are not a student in BSU. Because if you think you are a student in BSU, it will limit all the things you can do. It's a mighty thing I'm telling you this morning. It will limit you. They say, who are you? You say, I'm a retired professional. No, you are not retired anything. They ask John, who are you? He said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. When Jesus asked his disciples, who do you think I am? They didn't say, you're a retired carpenter now. No, sir. You are not a student in BSU. You are a kingdom entrepreneur that has decided to take his degree in BSU. BSU is not you. Are you together? Because it can corner you. It can cage you. He said that you can define, every day you are defining yourself, I'm a student. That means that the qualities of a student to be attached to you is an office. It's an office. That means that if they say students don't drive cars, guess what? You will not drive a car. You will be praying, but you have cased yourself. I am not a student. I am not a housewife. I'm not a house husband. I'm an entrepreneur. I happen to have children and I'm taking care of them. Yes, but I'm an entrepreneur. It will cage you. When you enter that city, you're not a pastor of a small church. No, sir. Kabbalah Amaya. Am I mad? Permit me to use that language. I am not a pastor of a small church. We don't do small ministries. CFC is not a small ministry. We are taking over the world. We are bringing the world to our feet. He says it shall come to pass in that day that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established upon all the mountains. He It will be established upon the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills. And all the people shall flow into it. Because it is when you exalt it that the people will flow into it. I'm not a pharmacist. I'm a kingdom entrepreneur. I'm a prophet called of God. That definition of you has to change. Say it has changed. When I ask you, who are you? Say, I'm one of the top models in Nigeria. Born again. Tongue talking. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, dominion system. Say, I'm taking over. The city is mine. By taking those, and you know, those spheres of influence, they have gatekeepers. And those gatekeepers, they are strategic because they are people that can make decisions that affect other people. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. See, Paul used this strategy. If you read Acts 28, verse 8, when he got to that island, he ministered to Publius. And then the next thing, the whole city turned to him. The same thing when he met Sergius Paulus. The same thing in Acts 13, 7. He ministered to him. It amplifies evangelism. Influence amplifies. Hi, it amplifies it. Amen. So within this short period, let me just give one or two insights on how to access or maximize the dominion system. We've already entered into part of it. The first thing is ownership and identity. The identity has to become solid in what God has called you to be. Amen. You are a prophet sent to the nation. You are a prophet sent to the nation. You are an evangelist sent to your world. Any other thing that you are doing is secondary. If it's your primary calling to be outside in the business industry, get a hold of the scripture. Many times the identity has to come from scripture. Jesus in Luke 4 found his mind and said, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has sent me. He knew he was. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, so the next, on influence, you know, yesterday when I was talking, I talked about three kinds of wisdom, right? Are we together? So now, on influence, this is very important, mightily important. So are you listening to me now? When it comes to influence, God is first of all strategic in his arrangement. Amen. God is strategic in his arrangement. And his resources will only back up the person that is doing his work. God can bless you when you are doing what you want to do. Right? But his resources, his entire resources will back up the person that is doing what he wants to do. Influence is granted to the person so that he can do what needs to be done. The people of the world, you've heard of those Illuminati and the rest. If you've not heard of them, it's good. Be innocent of evil. How the devil, this woman is already on YouTube. You can go and check it. It's on YouTube. Lady Gaga, she has been passing through some pains and a lot of things. If you don't know her, it's good. So she had been passing through a lot of things. And then what she said was that she was playing for nightclub in UK, just, you know, normal nightclub, doing the normal things outside of the realm of, within the wisdom of men, earning small, small money. So one day after playing for a nightclub, she went out to just take a smoke. And then one man appeared to her. That was the first and the last time she saw the man. The man said, do you want fame? Do you want influence? Do you want people? Do you want honor? She said, yes. She said, what are you ready to give to it? She said, anything. She said, that night, I sold my soul to the devil. The following year, the big names in the music industry were doing collab with her. Her name was everywhere. Now, what the devil does is that he is strategic in his thinking. He wants people, he wants a model that will influence the youth, right, to the thinking of the devil, to the thinking of the world, the ways of the world. So he will empower somebody that is ready to make a sacrifice so that the person will have influence. So that when a person sings, you know, influence is spiritual. The devil is one of the person that knows influence very well. It's called the anointed cherub. Part of the word anointed there is influence. Part of the meaning of influence. That means that this is angel. They are seeing God every day. The devil talk them to living God. That has influence. It's not ordinary. They are standing right in the presence of God and he talk them away. That has influence. So he understands this thing. That a person can have influence. So what he does is that if you are ready to follow his strategy, to align with his strategy, right? He will give you influence to do what? To help you to achieve his strategy. Because he himself cannot achieve his strategy on earth. Are you getting this thing? Now, I'm not talking about... I'm talking strategic level now. Do you understand? He will give you the ability to do his work. So this centurion knew it. When he saw Jesus, he said, I'm a man under authority. And I know that you're a man under authority. When I'm under authority, when I say to this man, go, he will go. Come, he will come. Why does that Roman guy know? Why did he know that Jesus was a man under authority? Because he understood authority. Authority is influence. Are we together? The reason why the Roman centurion could tell a soldier go was because he has aligned himself to the vision of the Roman Empire. So that they've given him soldiers to help him because in his alignment with he has to align with their vision. They have to give him soldiers to achieve their own vision, which he has aligned to. Are you understanding?
Yes, sir.
It is when you align to that vision, the person, if Reverend Tokula sends you, if it's his vision, he has to foot the bill now. What's your own inside? You understand? It's the same, that's the same thing for dominion system. The same thing for dominion system. It is influence. That influence is that the Roman guy has aligned himself with the authorities. And these authorities are like, I know this too. You know, I'm a soldier, right? I went through NDA for 5 years, aligning myself. I could get angry. Maybe after the second year, I said, I'm not doing it again. What is all this? But I stayed and aligned myself, right? Now I can just, with a phone call, I can bring soldiers. Because I've gone through the alignment. This same principle is what applies in Christendom. Because your motive has to be correct. Why do you want to do that business? Because we have to show them in the village that we have made it. We have made it. We have to show. No. Your motive has to realign. This is influence. So the moment God gets your motive realigned to, we are doing this thing because of God and because of God's people, kingdom, then God will bring all his resources to ensure that Kai. This is the secret of lifting. The motive. Why are you doing that business? You have to tie it to motive. Now, listen, it doesn't take long to do motive. It's not that you're going to do 7 days dry fast. No. It's when you bring your sacrifice to the altar and you find that your brother has ought against you, just leave it there. Quickly go and do it. It doesn't take long. It's as you are sitting there, just say, okay, God, that business, the reason why we are doing it is so that next faith adventure, we'll be able to have enough money to just say we are footing the bill. If you do that, he says, seek ye first the kingdom and all of these things will be added to you. Abraham was seeking for a child. He said, what are you going to give me seeing I go childless? And God started explaining to him the redemption story. He said, in you shall all nations be blessed. Abraham realigned his small mission into God's big vision. The moment he did that, the child showed up. Of course, God is interested about your small concern. He is. But when you align, then he blows it up and brings all of heaven's resources behind you. Same thing with Anna. She was looking for a child. She wanted to show the other wife. God, give me a child. Let me show her. Then she realized that God has an agenda. She tied up with God's agenda. She tied up with God's agenda. Hey, tie up with God's agenda. God has an agenda to take cities. Tie up with God's agenda. Tie up with God's agenda. That your business. Tie it up with God's agenda. God will start sponsoring it. God will begin to bring the resources, the people, the circumstances. Tie up with God's agenda. You will see God's mighty hand. Kai, I can't say this enough this morning. I want to tell you that this is the key. This tie up with God's agenda. You will see influence. That's what happened to Solomon. In the heart of Solomon's prayer. You know, some people, if God shows up now, you say, God, do you want? Jesus, you showed up in my bedroom. Thank you. Uh-huh. We need to fix the car. We need to pay the rent. You know, story is told of a guy, that a bike guy, that one night, one state governor, you know, he will run away from his aides and stroll only him in the evening. Then they slap him. Anyway, so this bike guy carried him, you know. And he didn't know it was the governor he was carrying. And then after everything, the governor gave him his card, say, come, this is my personal number, call me. When the guy came, finally to government house, he said, what do you want? Governor asked him, what do you want? Guy said, this is my bike, don't hold. And they should help me, make them repair them. You know, the way you are saying Kai, you have to become strategic. All he needs to do to sustain his entire life is to say they should just employ him. You know, some of you are thinking, let me make a trip to Dubai. He's still at a low level. Hey, you're still not strategic. you understand? You're going to get a trip. No, you shouldn't have asked for a pair of bike. Okay, new bike. He's still not strategic enough. Upscale. Because the lesser is included in the greater. So when God showed up to Solomon, Solomon had a heart for God's people. He said, God, you have made me a king among these your great people. Hey, when God sees that, there's something that moves God. When your heart is moved for the things that move him. Hey! Hey! Are you following what I'm saying this morning? If you can see what I'm saying, the influence. I say influence, the word. That root word, influence, in those days, they used to think it was something mystical, like a liquid that gathers things together. That's what they thought. Because some people apparently had it. People like Hitler. They apparently had it. They could move things by just talking. There are people that, in the military, one would do, I teach people how to fight. Amen. Amen. Okay, I teach people how to kill people. Don't tell anybody. That joke is becoming repeated, but it still works. Some people still laughed. In the military, when we are doing, when we call it estimate process, when you are planning war, there are certain people we call them the centers of gravity. Once you remove them from the equation, the whole war will collapse. Saddam Hussein was the center of gravity. Everything that they are fighting, if you can just remove Saddam Hussein, they have the tank, they have the fighters, just remove him. He's like the liquid that holds everything together. Are you following what I'm saying? That means that you can have all the resources. If God puts influence on you, if you can put another Saddam Hussein inside that place, the things will start working again. Hi. That thing is coming upon you. I said that thing is coming upon you. That thing is coming upon you. God is giving you a mouth and a wisdom that they cannot resist nor gainsay. God is giving you a mouth and a wisdom that they cannot resist nor gainsay. It's called influence. And guess what? In the Tower of Babel, what God removed was influence. He said, this people of one language and of one speech, what God removed was influence. Are we together? And guess what? God has restored it to us in talking in tongues. He said, and you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, building up yourself. What those guys were involved with was building. They were trying to raise the building. And then God removed the influence. Then the New Testament, God has given us tongues to be able to build up influence again. If you stay in tongues long enough praying, you will build influence. This influence is not just for church. I have done presentation in the military. You know what I do? I just go and hide somewhere. When I come out, making presentation, The people will be, the power of God will be upon them. Military officers, so I was looking. One came to me and said, no, it was not you that was talking. No. What was happening? There's no, they gave me best in oral presentation in one of the courses. I did. Somebody says, because you're a preacher. I say, no, it's the anointing. That means that when you are going for that business, you will lock yourself. You're going to submit that proposal. Take time and talk in tongues. I'll be in my office. If people are bringing ideas, when I say an idea, you cannot gainsay or resist it. Many times. As you just bring an idea, and I bring my own idea, you cannot gainsay or resist it. To gainsay, you know what gainsay is? That means ask something that, no, apart from what you are saying. To resist, to say, no, this thing will not work. When I bring the idea, it is the perfect idea. I bring it from inside. They say, that is what you are saying. That is the answer of peace. You will make a design. When you present it to the person, you say, this is what I've been looking for now. They say, where did you get it from? Inside. You will bring a song that everybody is waiting for. They say, Hillsong, that's how they get their songs. They will sit down for at least 6 months talking in tongues. Then the thing will start coming out from inside. Like a toshe tele mama. Then the songs will start coming out. When anybody that hears the song, whether believer or unbeliever, say, this is the song I've been looking for. That your idea, you will sit down and talk in tongues. Man katala brodos teke peya. Rete kustapaya labosha. Rising up like an edifice. You will rise up like an edifice. You know when he's talking about rising up an edifice, he's talking about a spiritual structure. Spiritual structure. Those demons said, Paul, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? Why? Because those guys did not have any spiritual structure. Because what gives you noticeability or visibility in the realm of the spirit is your spiritual structure. those guys in Tower of Babel said, let us build, we are going to build it to the heaven so that we'll have a name for ourselves. What they were looking for was a name. If in Makodi, nobody knows you. Let me give you an example in the physical world. Nobody knows you in Makodi. Just enter the center of Uruku. Buy a plot of land and raise a 24-story building. And see, and stay, come and stay, not in Boko, stay in the backside of Vandikia and see whether they will not call you. Some people are still not understand what I'm saying. You're not getting what I'm saying. See, anywhere they put you, you will stay there. Just keep talking in tongues. It's spiritual. They will look for you. It will raise your visibility. They say, Paul, we know. We know Jesus. But who are you? Because there's no... That's why Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you. Spiritual structures. Spiritual structures. They will look for you. I said, they will look for you. They will look for you. You will stay and raise those spiritual structures. It's dominion system. It's, and that's why you see that many countries, it's the countries that dominate, that's why the high skies, they have skyscrapers. Because you have to raise your visibility. Which of you intending to build a tower? Why do you build a tower? To raise visibility. It's dominion. You see the Catholic Church, they must build a big building, you know. Why? Can't we just meet... there's a secret to it. It's called dominion. You have to flood the market with your name. It's dominion. You'll be everywhere. To be everywhere, when you raise the visibility, they can see you from anywhere. You raise a tower. How do you raise that tower? Talking in tongues. So don't worry about where you are. In that office, stay. Don't worry. Just stay. You shut out a weekend, shut out 2 weekends, shut out weekends. Just stay talking in tongues and see what will happen. Rise on your feet, people. Thank you, Lord. Kasa broko teshe tolaba. Le gradon so prakatesh tolebredigen doshetaya. Talk in tongues. Rebrakata labrodon si katalia. Jengrodis talabaga loso tolabrakates to redida. Rata kato jegeto lebaratike tolegebama. Engrodis talabaka sheke tolema. Zengrodis tahalabako shekama. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. How be it? In the spirit, he speaks mysteries. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He's rising up like an edifice. He's edifying himself. He's building spiritual structures. He's building. You cannot be ignored. Halabakata selema. Eketo. In that family, you cannot be ignored. Are you listening to what I'm saying this morning? I say you cannot be ignored. You are becoming too big for them to ignore you. You are becoming too big for to be ignored in the city. The city is yours. 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 Just talk in tongues. Just pass in this place. I'm going to just speak a few words. Just talk in tongues. You are taking dominion. Hey, you are unstoppable. Hey, listen just 1 minute. You will take your time and stay. You will rise up like an edifice. The city is yours. I said, the city is yours. Because now you know how to go into the city. I said, the city is yours. The music industry is yours. In the name of Jesus, you are breaking out and you are breaking forth. I said, you are breaking out and you are breaking forth. In the name of Jesus, enter the season of lifting now. In the name of Jesus, enter the season of lifting now. In the name of Jesus, enter the season of lifting now. In the name of Jesus, the city is yours. Come on, you just shout it out that the city is mine. Hey, shout, shout. The city is mine. The city is mine. The city is mine. The city is mine. Hey. Listen, listen. You're going to walk up to 5-10 people. You will look them eyeball to eyeball. When you say city, we're not just talking about... You're not talking about just... We are talking about... We are taking the industries. In that your office, you are becoming an owner of that business. The lifting has come for you. In your office, you're going to walk up to 5-10 people. You will look them eyeball to eyeball and tell them, listen, there's an attitude which you do this. Don't go groveling like, no. Hey, kabatalaba katelema. Something has jumped upon you. You walk up to them, look at them eyeball to eyeball. As ay, 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 ay. You know the way to the city. Hey, I know the way. I know the way. You look them eyeball to eyeball and say, the city is mine. Come on, do it. Walk up to 5-10 people. Kalaba kalama. Hey, hey. Do, do, do. Again, do. Do, do, do. Again, do. The city is mine, sir. The city is mine. 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 Come on, shout and rejoice.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.